Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Relationships. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us about relationships. I am Kimmy Vinda-Leppins, and with me is my amazing friend and yours too, Steve. How was your weekend?
Well, I don't know if we reminded you, but Evinda has a curriculum for Transform, being in the trenches of 8 roots of life and all that probably infect most of us.
Infect.
And so she has wanted to take a step to put all those on video, or at least we were able to do half of those on video. However, that was Friday night and Saturday, which took 8 or so hours of both our times.
Yeah.
But it was a very cool time and a very accomplished thing. So very enjoyable. Lots of people participated because you could talk to a blank wall, I guess, but it was neat that we had people that when the camera panned the room, there were actually people in the pan.
Yeah.
So it was very, very cool. Very cool. But very kind of draining. But,
yeah, it's exhausting.
A lot of reward for that.
Yeah,
so very cool.
There will be. I'm trusting that there will be. So, yeah, it's exciting as the vision was getting closer and closer. I was getting attacked like crazy, but it was just really cool to see it all come to fruition. So
yeah, we just had to change our clothes every hour, make it look like we were there every week. Bring your wardrobe. Didn't even have a makeup artist. I said, what the heck? I had to comb my own hair, spray my own hair. I mean, what? So anyway,
we
made it.
Yeah, we had so much hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had to comb it over to spots that don't show. Right?
Oh, my God, the comb over. That's too funny.
Okay,
so today what we're going to be doing is, you know, we have talked about this issue, this thing that you need to have in any relationship in order for it to succeed. There's 10 things, but the very first one is trust, and everything is formed upon the foundation, if you will, of trust. So we've talked about, you know, why it's important, you know, what is it, and today we just wanted to be able to go through how do we learn to trust. And you know, we did discuss last week that oftentimes we put too much trust in others. In fact, I remember someone yesterday said to me, I can't do this again and put my whole heart in this and then be hurt. My response to that person was, friend, God wants your whole heart, and then he'll guide you into who you can invite into your
heart. Well, listen to what that is. Yeah, my whole heart. I think when we think of trust, can I trust you? That means, are you going to spend money we don't have? Are you going to lie to me? And so, yes, we have that external kind of measure that you kind of say what you're going to do. But there's another kind of trust, and that's, can I entrust myself to you?
Right.
Can I share myself? Can I reveal my insecurities? Can I tell you what makes me afraid? That's a way different kind of trust. And so,
wouldn't you say it's deeper and it's harder to obtain or attain? Or?
Well, it is deeper. So when couples come in and they, let's say they're in the process of a remarriage maybe, or they are now out after a bad marriage, and they're sitting at that table meeting the first time off the internet, and so it's all candlelight and everything. And so it's easy to ask, of course, why you divorced, and most of us ask the question, what caused the divorce? And we automatically go to the other person. But it's a very deep question about trust in a very initial state of that relationship that you would ask the person, so what do you think your contribution?
Mm-hmm.
What was your contribution? So it's easy as we're...
To the failing of trust?
Yeah,
or,
so what was your contribution to the
trust?
Failing of the marriage? Well, it was about trust. It's about the failing of the marriage. And what do you think you could have done better? And I think we're always victims in those situations, but we need to ask ourselves, am I trustable? Not only is the person I'm with trustable, and can they trust themselves with me?
Mm-hmm.
And can I trust me with them? So.
And that's on many levels, too, you know, because, you know, I know that there are people, I'm this, and he's not.
Sure.
And, you know, so there's a lot of...
blaming.
Yeah, a lot of blame finger pointing, which really breaks down the barrier of trust, actually. But there's an interesting thing that Steve had said last week. You know, we're wanting to talk about how is it that we learn to trust. And part of the problem is we tend to put our trust in things that we think we can control, right?
Well, that's right. And the most, the thing we trust the most is really ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, can I control them? But the statement here from these people that have quoted trust ideas that I cannot trust a man to control others who cannot control themselves.
Okay, so that goes into that deeper trust,
yes.
That emotional trust, to be able to, can I entrust my heart with yours? Well, if you can't even control yourself, how can I trust you?
Yeah, have I ever asked myself, where am I not trustable?
Nice.
And a lot of trust is based on omission. You don't have to lie directly, you just leave things out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell them the whole truth. You just, you tell them partial so that they believe. You know, when I was a kid, I was 16, and I had my driver's license, and my girlfriend lived an hour away, and this family would take me to visit her, who were also friends of her family, and my mom and dad would let me ride with them. And so on this occasion, when I wanted to go up to see her, my mom asked how I was going to get there, and I said, well, the Macquaries are providing the transportation. Little did she know that meant they were giving me their car to drive myself.
Oh.
But my mom was left an impression
that
they were going to drive me there and I was going to be under adult supervision. So I think we learn how to avoid direct truth.
Mm.
And yet we expect
our mate
to do direct truth. Let your yes be yes and no be no. The Dalai Lama said a lack of transparency results in distrust and a deep sense of insecurity.
Say that a lack of transparency.
A lack of transparency. I have to be transparent. I need to be able to tell you who I am and how I really think and what I believe in a relationship.
Yeah.
And since most relational rules are never spoken, we kind of get into it without really ever defining. And again, especially for the second relationships, third relationships, it doesn't have to be a remarriage. It just has to be one that was significant to you. And what were the pieces missing? And I think we always think those pieces were missing in the other person.
So when you say what were the pieces missing, when you kind of rewind and look back. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what happens to the person that's in a relationship and says, you know, I just can't trust him with my whole heart? What do you say?
Well, I know you can't trust him with your whole heart. And keep in mind, I've said this many times, that a relationship attaches at the same emotional maturity level. So when you say to them, you can't trust them with your whole heart, is there something about you that's equally untrustable? Now, that doesn't mean it's your fault. I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm just trying to get some insight and understanding, trusting. And we always think it's about the other person's action.
But it's our inability too, right?
But it's also based on us, yes. And I may be not trusting whether they are showing me that or not. You know, can I risk being real?
So we have a question in the chat room.
Yes.
She says, how does that make me distrust someone else, her not being transparent?
Well, if you're transparent, you see, ideally, when two people are connected, they're two individuals.
Right.
They're two individuals. And so I don't need someone's approval, but I need to let them know who I am. So if I'm transparent and say, a lady just recently in the last 2 weeks, she was in here and she met a man twice through, friends. And upon the second date, he started appearing to use his hands more to communicate. And she said, you know, I've let you kind of do this for the last hour or so, but I just need to tell you.
Mm.
There won't be any sex until we're at the altar.
Mm.
And so I'm just telling you, that's transparency. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't about him telling him he was wrong.
Yeah.
But I just need to let you know who I am. I just need to let you know what bothers me. And so let your yes be yes and no be no, instead of we are kind of vague in our communication or we're avoidant.
So let me just ask you this. So, you know, hypothetically, let's just use a hypothetical situation.
Okay.
So somebody might be a little inhibited to be transparent because maybe when they're transparent, the other one blows up.
Oh, absolutely.
What does that tell you? I mean,
well, that tells us then, of course, there's a maturity issue right now because we're going to use avoidance now to communicate. And so you're afraid to tell them something you should tell them because that goes into the reservoir. We talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody steps on your foot, you need to say, ouch. And if this person is going to blow up and you still avoid telling them, then this kind of relates to the wife who comes in when she still cares for her husband, and I suggest maybe you need to leave while you still care.
Right.
Because you may stay long enough not to care, and so you're going to finally express something about what's on your mind, however he may blow up, but at that point you're not going to care if he blows up.
Right.
But those are the sources that you need to seek out, whether it's a counselor or someone who can help you be assertive with what you think,
mm-hmm.
and then help predict what might or might not happen in your transparency, and then have a plan.
You know, and I keep coming to this, I hope I word this correctly, but, you know, you have to get to a point where you're trusting of yourself because you're in touch with what you're feeling and what you're needing, that you're not so concerned about what the other person's going to say when you are transparent. Does that make sense?
Well, Dr. Spock. I don't know if any of you...
From Star Trek?
No, that's...
Oh, sorry.
That's Mr. Spock. Dr. Spock was years ago in the 60s telling parents they didn't need to hug their kids. They just needed to function around them. And so there's been a lot of controversy over his view of parenting. But in either case, he said, trust yourself. You know more than you think you do.
Mm.
And you have to learn to dummy down your intuition, sadly. Again, you relate or you survive. And so to have a relationship for no other reason except, okay, I have someone, I guess we could call that a relationship. But your intuition tells you things. And it's like parenting your kids. You kind of know if they're telling you the truth, or you should kind of know if they're telling you the truth. But now if your intuition is intact,
mm-hmm.
then you have to act on your intuition.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just learn to avoid. Sometimes you learn to pretend. Sometimes you learn to ignore.
For the greater good?
Well, I guess if the greater good is your pain,
yeah.
then I guess it's greater good. But in the long run, this is all scientific reality from an emotional level. Something will begin to break.
Yeah, exactly.
So your body will tell you, your irritation will tell you, your emotionality will tell you something you're not being honest about.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we're talking about how do we learn to trust, half of this conversation is how do I learn to trust myself?
Exactly.
Not yeah. just what the other person is doing. And we think, of course, and it's an automatic thing, that it's them. If we're happy or not happy, it's, you know, it's again like when you do something, there's no excuse. When I do something, I'm having a bad day.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are equally responsible. And really, it's a lot about from the beginning, just like that woman after the second time they meet.
Mm-hmm.
She
well,
has
that's
a
good.
Real,
yeah, that's a real good boundary.
Real conversation.
Yeah.
And those are the things you need to follow up on. A lot of people get together in these dating sites,
mm-hmm.
and they give a lot of information on those dating sites.
Yeah.
And we need to follow up with that information and use that and
consistent.
Say, let's talk about
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm dying to know. So is she still seeing them?
No, they broke.
Huh.
And he
that.
Said, I'm glad you told me that because I don't trust myself. He said, I don't trust myself.
Well, that's honest.
That was a very cool transparency.
Yeah, that's honest.
And so in every other relationship, you know, you go to get a job. They tell you what the job description is, and you show them your resume, and it's a good fit, and they know, you know, the hours and the pay and what's expected. Now, in a marital or dating relationship, we don't ask what the resume is.
Right. That would be a really
or a
good
job
thing.
Description.
Can I have a relationship resume, please? I love it.
Yeah. And
oh, my gosh, that's a good blog.
And so then let me tell you what I expect. And let me see your resume, and then show me your two 1040s, the last in your bank accounts. And I think you need to – it's an amazing thing when people go to get jobs now that a company that's going to hire them can get all sorts of information that would tell them if you're going to be a good employee. Forget that you're going to be a good accountant or a good machinist, because if you have not paid your bills and you are a bankrupt guy, you can find all sorts of information that would be very telling about the future success. Of connectivity.
I'm like excited about this relationship resume. So like, you know, I'm just like that like sparked something in my crazy head. I think that would be really, really good to actually print out a relationship resume. What would mine look like?
Well, that goes along with that whole thing theoretically that there was an interview that a dad does with a boy,
uh-huh.
and he says, here, fill out this application.
Huh.
And so it asks on what are your intentions to do this? When's the last time you had sex with somebody else?
Really?
It was a spoof kind of thing.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you want to date my daughter, man? Let me know who she's dating. Nothing
I like it.
Nothing personal.
Oh, so that meaning that they would give that to a person, a potential dating person.
Yeah, you tell honey, any guy that wants to date you, give him this, please, and fill it out and mail it to me.
And then they can date.
Yeah,
I'll
interview him,
answer.
See if he's qualified for the job. Yeah.
I like this idea of, like, I wonder what the questions I would put in the resume. Like, resume, you put past experience? Oh, dear.
Well, let's talk about that trust yourself thing for a minute.
Would it be truthful? Gay Hardy's asking, would it be truthful?
But would it be truthful?
Yep, that's what would make it interesting.
Well, I think you can say, I think you can tell a lot, and this is the statement I'm going to make that goes along with would it be truthful. The more you trust your intuition, the more empowered you become, the stronger you become, and the happier you become. Mm. And so there's a lot said without words.
Yes.
I mean, you ask a question straight up, and somebody starts fudging, and he blinks a lot. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah. And then the following answer is subject to interpretation. But you have an intuition about things, and I think we have learned not to trust our intuition, because then we'd have to act on the intuition.
Yeah, and I think if you're not trusting of yourself, then you're not going to act
Absolutely.
On your intuition, right?
And you say, well, if I trust myself and I act on what that is, I could be wrong. And I said, yes, you could be wrong. But if you don't act on it, you could be very lonely in a very short time.
Yes,
with the relationship, because you're not following up on what your gut tells you.
Mm-hmm.
And so early on, and you're going to get a lot of feedback right away when she said, hey, you know, we're not having sex until the night of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
His reaction said a whole lot, which gave her, you know, and to me, there was an appealing moment when he said, you know what, that's a fair reality because I don't trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is that those the transparency of that moment says, wow, this is a mature person.
Yeah.
And
on
so
both sides.
On both sides.
Yeah, I remember actually telling George that.
So it isn't the answer the person gives to any question, it's how they answer the question.
Yeah.
Are they open to receive what you said? Are they open to be own what they've done or be consistent with what they've done and what you see and what they say?
Suppose, okay, so here's a question in the chat room.
Here's a question.
Suppose a relationship is all about two people waiting for the other to change certain things.
Suppose a relationship is all about two people waiting for the other to change certain things. That goes under the scripture, if you ever loan money, make it a gift.
Mm-hmm.
If you knowingly get into this relationship and you've
yep.
never addressed it, and although you have addressed it, how do you learn to let go? Because I understand there's certain things about them that's very clear that you have to live with. It's really tough. But what about what they're living with you?
Mm-hmm.
That's really tough.
Right.
But I think there's a lot in a relationship. If you do half the things we talked about in a dating process, you can save yourself a lot of heartache. And you're saying, well, Steve, who does that? You know, there's a personality inventory. I use the Myers-Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, okay, give them a Myers-Briggs before when you start dating. Here, fill this out. I got to know what kind of personality I'm getting into.
But do you think that's going to be honest, though, to be honest with you? Because I've done that. We've done certain things with, you know, people that we've interviewed for the office.
Sure.
And I have to tell you, they have turned out to not be truthful.
Well, I think it's how you interview and I think what you're looking for. I think you need to become skilled
yes,
as an interviewer.
Yes, at recognizing strengths and
yes.
weaknesses and all that. Because I really have learned that, you know, it takes a good 3 to 6 months
that's right.
to get a good working rhythm down with whomever
and
you
And that's
get
why, in. And I think we go too overboard, but I don't think we go overboard enough. We need to talk about the previous employers, you know, and of course that's always a risk because then they can say, yeah, they talked out of school.
Yeah.
And so who knows that you can trust that. But I think a lot can be said and you have 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay, then so they faked you out on the front side, but in 90 days, you know, they can't hide.
Yeah, well, that's what we did this
Ultimately.
Time, which worked out cool. But there's another question. She says, so if a relationship is all about two people waiting for the other to change certain things, and those things aren't changing, I'm filling in the blanks here, you just walk away from it, right? If
well,
it doesn't work out for you?
Okay, you walk away.
Human resources gay says is my next degree.
Well, first of all, you aren't walking
away
from the person. It isn't that you're judging them. This is a very critical understanding of trust. You know, I'm not judging you. I'm judging myself.
Yeah.
You're fine. I can't live with it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't make it about them.
And
you
so if I'm concerned, you know, it's one of those things if, for instance, to apply this reality, when people say they're suicidal and I talk to them on the phone and it's nighttime and they're trying to convince me not to send the police over there. And so once I hang up the phone and I say to them, okay, I'm going to call you in the morning, or I ask them to call me in the middle of the night, I want them to focus on doing something besides themselves. And
right.
so that's a technique, you know, to have people manage their suicidality.
So you kind of distract them in a
it's
sense?
It's a distracting thing.
Right.
Yeah, I want to call me out an hour every day, call me on the hour, so they're more focused on making sure I call, because if they don't, I'm going to call someone. But if I lay in my bed for 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
unrelaxed, if I have anxiety, I'm going to call the police. I'm judging my anxiety. I'm judging. You might not be suicidal, but my anxiety is not going to go to sleep. So,
right.
And that's what we need to judge other people. You need to say, you know, you're fine. And that you have to own. You know, well, that doesn't look very Christian. I think it looks very Christian. I think it isn't that you're perfect. It's that you know you're not.
Exactly.
And because you're not perfect, you are not obligated to become somebody you're not to make somebody else happy.
Yeah.
And if I'd love to tell you what you want to hear, I'd be lying. And I've already figured this out in my age, and depending on the age, you would have practiced being yourself for that length of time, and you realize, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
My niece came over the weekend. My niece came over the weekend, and she smokes. I was telling myself going out the door, I cannot relate to anybody that smokes. You're out. You smoke, we're done. Well, is that judgmental? Yeah, it's judgmental, but I'm judging that I don't put my lips against somebody who's had smoke on them. You know, I'm not telling you you're wrong for smoking. I'm not telling you it's a bad thing to smoke, although it is.
Uh-huh.
But I just have to know if you want to call it prejudice, and it's okay to have that.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things I'm just not okay with.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm sure you'll find somebody that loves a kiss, smoke-covered lips. I mean, hey, that's great.
Okay,
but.
So what you are saying, and to answer this person's question in the chat room, is if your intuition is telling you that things are not changing and you are feeling like you need to walk away, then, again, you make it about you.
Right.
Not about the other person.
Yeah.
Just, you know what? I'm the one.
And you can say, and I've never liked people that smoked. It didn't start when you showed up.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that people learn to articulate that well, because it doesn't sound too Christian to say, I don't like this.
Okay, so she says, but the person will still take it as them, though, even if you say it's about you. But that's not, you don't worry about that. You cannot control that.
My job cannot be to protect them. And in their maturity, and that's the maturity issue. If they were mature, they say, you know what, I can understand that because I can't stand a person who's overweight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not about that. It's about the honesty within ourselves that can tell you what you want to hear. And so I've tried to, you know, change my wife. She's recently been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And so I've been working on 38 years of slow down. And so I've just had to learn to accept, in this case, I'm not going to trade out wives now,
mm-hmm.
that she's not going to change. She really can't change herself. And those are the things that I have to ask myself. Can I run ahead of her? Which I do. I've slowed my life about a third down on the weekends, where I was very busy with a lot of things, played golf, went on Take Back the Neighborhood. I got music. I got tons of stuff. And that's just the scratch of the surface. But I had to decide, you know, she's not going to help herself. And so there's full days when she goes, what are you doing? I said, whatever you're doing, that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
Because she, like, you know, we had a pool cover. We had to throw one away, and she ordered one, and it came over the weekend. And normally I'd let her do it herself.
But you helped her.
Yeah. I said, okay, what do you put this cover on? I'm going to stand out here until you're done. She goes, I'm weeding right now. I said, well, I'll be out here weeding until you put that pool cover on. You know, because she won't ask me, you know, so just
dang
do it.
Isn't that crazy after all these years?
Well, hey, it's a lot of investment, so.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. So for the person that asked that question, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, you know, what is the best thing for you? And then somebody had said, well, there's compromise. Yeah, there's compromising it. You can't break your own integrity.
Right.
When to compromise means you'd be lying to yourself.
Right.
Or denying yourself in a way that's very unhealthy, then no compromise doesn't work, because...
Well, loving as Jesus did does not mean you're not a self.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of misinterpretations. You know, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And I think there's a fine line between where I begin to serve and where I'm resentful.
Right. Yeah.
And so if there's partial ability to say, all right, you know what, I can accept that for a little while. If you want to drink, I don't want you to drink at all, but if you can have two drinks, I can live with two drinks.
Yeah.
It's when you X, your personality changes, it's selfish, you're going to drive. And so this concept is very deep in terms of how you trust. But again, can I trust myself? Can I trust what they're going
to
do?
She responds to the compromise. She says, I can't compromise right now because that's all I did in my marriage, so I'm not okay with that. So
well,
that's her,
all right.
Her relationship taught her not to compromise, which isn't all the way healthy either.
Well, let me address that issue. That's kind of not exactly true.
What do you mean?
If I can't choose not to do it ever, then I'm never choosing to do it. I have to know I can choose. I have to hold myself responsible. When I'm giving that time to my wife, I cannot sit resenting, wow, I could be on the golf course right now, which I would have been.
Right.
Wow, I could play racquetball right now, and I could have been.
Yeah, you have to feel good about what you're doing.
But I'm choosing, and that's why right now when you choose to have a zero mark, then ever you do it, I'm choosing to give you one, and that's what you get.
Yeah.
And then I'm back to zero, and then I'm going to give two, because it's not trusting them, it's trusting me.
That's right. So we, again, have to come back to being able to trust
us. Yes. our instinct of ourselves.
Very, very key. Which
love your neighbor. What's it say? Love your neighbor
as thyself.
As yourself. If you don't give yourself a turn, you shouldn't be giving anybody else a turn.
It's a tough one. And then there was a comment in the chat room, and it says, sometimes happy ever after is alone for a time such as this.
Sometimes. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow, this person has a lot of insight. Yes. I have to be able to stand by myself.
Yes.
There was a time when I wasn't okay with, I might have told this story before, I don't think so, but my daughter was 15 and she wanted to be in a group, and she was of an age that she could decide to be in this group, but I couldn't support that because my fear was she'd be in the group, and I've been in many groups, I understand. Mm-hmm. You know, you give your life to those groups. And I was afraid that would become her life and she wouldn't go to church anymore. And so I said, you know what, you're 15, you can do what you want, but I won't be supporting that. What do you mean? Well, I won't be taken to a rehearsal. I won't be, you've got tryouts right now. There's 20 girls. This group had been established. They've been around for years.
Mm-hmm.
It was an a cappella group. There was four. They needed five. And so you would have thought I was going to kill our first child. My wife couldn't understand it, my son. And so it's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm out. It's raining. It's in the spring, and she's got two more high school years to go. She's the end of her sophomore year. And I'm outside, and she comes out there, and I'm grading this cement pour in the rain. And she needed a ride to her, so I said, oh, and I'm raking. Well, she's talking to me, and I say, good, I need a ride. Great. You know, can you take me? No. And so, oh, my gosh, she goes off crying. My wife comes out. I've got a little, very long piece of property, and in the corner of my eye, here comes Mom. So you're going to hurt our daughter. I said, she's free. She's free to do what she wants. So long story short, that night I took my daughter out to dinner, and I said, now, I needed the wisdom of Solomon with the two mothers and a baby, and I said, did you decide to be in this group to make me unhappy? She goes, well, that's stupid. I said, exactly. And I didn't decide not to support you to make you unhappy. She goes, it would have been easier if you would have just told me no.
Hmm.
I said, that's absolutely right. And for the rest of your life, you're going to make decisions I don't ever agree with, but I'm going to love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be your dad, and I'm going to tell you what kinds of questions to ask them. I already know what they're going to ask you. And so she was the finalist, actually.
Nice.
And she finally asked them the question, okay, what is the commitment? They said, the next 2 years of your high school life, she said no.
So that was good.
But I had to stand alone, and I need her to be alone. We got to be okay with this, and being alone is not the most desired thing, and it's a sadness is because we need to be okay doing it.
Well, and then one more comment. What's a quick way to learn to love yourself? I don't think there is a quick way, but
you have to practice. It's like trust is a choice and a process. Love of yourself is a choice and a process, and you have to take time before you give an answer. So the quickest way is do your homework before you say yes to anyone,
mm-hmm.
and do your homework before you say no to anyone. But you need to ask yourself, why are you saying yes and why are you saying no? And codependent people don't know they have a vote.
Yeah.
And they automatically think they're obligated to the question. And so you will feel guilt because guilt's a violation of a rule that you decided to go by. Mm-hmm. You didn't even read or agree to, but you're obligated
therefore
to
you
it.
Didn't sign.
And people are going to be mad. What do you mean you're saying no? You never said no before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes.
So we're actually coming to the end of the show, but I wanted to let you know next Monday we won't be on the air because I am actually taking a much-needed break. But here's what I would lovingly suggest. I would suggest that maybe you download the show and listen to it again because there was a lot of meat in it, and we thought we were going to actually get through how do we learn to trust, but we've only gotten to one point of how we learn to trust, and
right.
That's okay. We're not in a hurry. Loved the participation. I think it made it much more valuable. And she says a quick answer.
Oh, she meant not a quick way to learn.
A quick answer.
A quick answer.
To learn to love yourself.
Yes.
Is being alone quick answer to learn how to love yourself? Yes, sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes it is. So,
yes.
Okay, so by all means, spread the word, spread this link, and share this free, this free loving counseling from Steve, which is absolutely amazing. And we will be back on the air with you in 2 weeks. Make it a great day.
Bye-bye.